Father, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you that we are created to be conformed to the image of you. Nothing else that you have in store for us to look like who you are in our nature, in our character, in our essence. And so, Father, just as you continue to reveal what true honor and humility and unity, reconciliation, and trust looks like, we yield our hearts to you in undivided devotion to let you teach us and reveal to us anything you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue the series, Pathways to Partnership, this morning. And he gave us five core tenets: honor, humility, hearts for reconciliation, unity of the spirit, and trust. And he began to speak most of those in our staff devotion one day, and was calling us higher. He wasn't getting onto us for the lack of it, but he was calling us higher to a place where he wanted us to be, and that's what he's doing with us. And the Lord says when we do that, a culture of honor will become natural for us. It will be what you see here, where we're building each other up and loving each other well. Steve looked at honor the last several weeks, humility last week. He was able to touch on it. I think he's going to pick that back up next week. But we're going to dive more into humility today. And at the pool party, one of my sister's friends came over and said, what are you speaking on tomorrow? I said, humility. And she goes, we'll talk at the next birthday party. You know, but that's the mindset sometimes we have about it. Like, we're going to get our toes stepped on. But the Lord wants us to see it as he's calling us to a higher way of living. He's calling us to a place of kingdom manifestation on the earth that isn't natural. It's not natural for us to walk out humility. It's not natural for us to walk out honor, trust, and even reconciliation. Like, you mean I'm supposed to reconcile with you? Well, you're the one that hurt me. Like, that's not normal in the world, but we're not of this world. We're called to be completely different. We are called to look nothing like it. If you believe in aliens or zombies, I know who you people are just by the amens. But honestly, like, that's what you should be. That's what you should be. You should look so different that you don't belong here. And that's what he's calling us up to. This word, Steve read it last week. A gate is opening over Grace Church, a portal to my throne and my spirit, forming partnerships which are strife-free, sin-free, and stress-free. As humility wins the day, and no one cares who gets the credit, but only that Jesus Christ is magnified in, at, and through Grace Church and the body that I have assembled here. Let's look at James 4, and I've got it in two translations. The New King James says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In the Passion Translation, it says, but he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us. For it says, God resists you when you are proud, but continually pours out grace when you are humble. If you need grace, what do you need to look at? Humility. You need to look at, what in my life am I walking in pride? What area in my life have I not humbly submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ? What in my life have I not submitted to others? How about that? And we get to start walking it out next week as a church body with a mask ordinance. We get to walk out humility before our community. right? He gave us an opportunity to practice what we're learning. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:5. It says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time. Like, he does that. All three of these verses that I read, or two verses, three translations, it talks about God resisting the proud and giving grace to the humble. Well, that is in reference to a scripture in Proverbs 3:34, where it says, in that it uses the word scoffer. God resists those that scoff. So what in the world does scoff mean? Sometimes, like, you think you know what a word means, but you look it up to make sure you know what a word means. It means to make fun of. It really does. If you are making fun of someone or their ideas, whether you're portraying them as silly or stupid, that's scoffing at them. But God resists that. We talk in my first gen disciple-making group, because we have a guy that says that he has a gift of sarcasm. But when you look up the word sarcasm in the Greek, it actually is ripping and tearing of flesh. Now think about that. God resists that. He resists us when we're scoffers. But the good news is he gives grace to all of those that humble themselves. So if you need more grace for your marriage, for your parenting, for your job, I need grace in all three of those. That's why I named them first. In your finances, just like, you know, in as Taylor was talking earlier, like, I got very overwhelmed this week with life. I needed grace. Not all the time did humility come out. I will just say, it's been a good week for me, right? It's been a good week for me. But pride is easier to see in others than it is within ourselves. Like, we can look at somebody else and see where they don't measure up, or they're being arrogant or fearful. Let me just list you some things about pride. It's self-defeating. For one, humility can't live where pride is, because it causes us to be ungrateful and to be entitled, like we deserve this or that. Now, you may not think you're an entitled human being, but when something goes longer, or when the city of Choctaw asks us to wear a mask for 30 days, like, our flesh will rise up. And we are entitled to our own rights. You know what Jesus modeled? He modeled how to lay down his rights and pick up the Father's. One of my truths that I pray almost every morning says, I lay down my rights and I pick up yours. If I can walk out that mindset every day, man, my relationships are going to be so much better. Now, there are many days the people I live with and the people that I work with can testify that I do not lay down my rights. I say it, but I don't walk it out all the time. But what I am doing is I am learning. Just like Paul talked about, we learn to be content. We have to learn to become humble. We have to learn to walk in humility. It isn't something we're given. In fact, it says grace is given. Humility is not given. And think about that. So every time that self-centeredness, frustration, anger, unmet expectations, fear, comparison, selfishness, arrogance, wanting credit, woe is me, won't submit to one another, know-it-all. You guys like this list of prideful things? Anytime any of those things rise up, you have to remind yourself you're learning to walk out being humble. It is a choice to walk in the humility. God's promise is that when we do that, grace will come. It's our cause and effect. It's a spiritual law. It's pretty cool. Humility is a precursor to everything. It's a completely, how many of you are born again? Raise your hand. Be proud of that. Did you do that in pride? Right. You had to humble yourself and say, I need you, Lord. Humility is a precursor for everything. In order for you to have, in order for you to be honoring to anybody, humility comes first. In order for you to trust somebody, because skepticism comes very natural. But humility is a choice. And after humility comes, comes trust. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Humility is the one thing that has to be present to receive anything. Humility will open the way to discover all that he is and all that he has given you already. It's justification. He's already given you everything, life and godliness. He's already provided grace. But humility will cause that to open up, the floodgates to open up, and for you to be able to receive it. And it unlocks doors of understanding, and it brings you through the gates of wisdom. Here's the kicker. A lot of times we like to say we're humble towards the Lord, but humility towards the Lord is evident in relationship with people. Think about that. Humility towards the Father, towards the Lord, must be demonstrated in relationships with people. And so let's look at it. I'm going to read for you Philippians 2. Man, this rocked my world a few years ago. 1-5. Look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with his comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit, and you have felt his tender affection and mercy. Did any of you experience that today during worship? Yeah. The next word says, so. Because of all of that, because you're connected to him as source, I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unabounded joy. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Do not allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. And let his mindset be your motivation. I want to break this scripture down with you this morning. Humility towards God must be demonstrated in relationship with people. So he said right here, because we're connected with him, he's asking that we be joined together in perfect unity. Why? So you will have one heart and one passion and united in one love. You cannot have any of those unless you are joined together in perfect unity with each other. And the only way to be joined together in perfect unity with each other is humility. It's to know your need of God and that he is asking us to walk this out. Mutual submission. Then it goes on to say to walk together. What does that look like? There will be one harmonious purpose. I don't know about you guys this weekend. Your weekend may have been bliss. But ours was not very harmonious, was it, honey? Right? And so we didn't, when you really walk together, what it looks like is one harmonious purpose. When you're truly walking together, that's what it looks like. So when you walk together and there's not a harmonious purpose, you choose to continue to walk together, to bring that together. But humility has to happen. Has to. To be free from pride-filled opinions. Why? Because it will kill any cherished unity. It will totally kill it. Do not allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts. Because if you let it hide, and that word hide is important there. Remember, we don't always see pride in ourselves the way we see it in others. Self-promotion is a form of pride, and it likes to hide. It's deceptive. You know, the nature of deception is you are, when you're deceived, you don't know it. Think about it, right? But we don't allow self-promotion to hide in our hearts because we want authentic humility to come forth. Why? So we can put others first and we can view their opinion greater than our own. There's no way to do that if we have some secretive, whether we know it or not, self-promotion in our heart. Abandon every display of selfishness by possessing a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. Think about that. Like, how many times do we do something because we want to do it? That doesn't mean you let people run over you and you get into abusive situations. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us being conformed to the image of Christ. And this is what he modeled. I love this last one. Consider the example that Jesus, the anointed one, has set before us. And let his mindset become your only motivation. That's it. He starts out in verse 1 saying, I'm your source. Because of this connection, because you found all of these amazing things in our relationship and what I've given to you, because of that, I want you to go walk these out as a byproduct. And he gives us this list. And at the end, he reminds us there's going to be days where we don't have motivation to walk any of this stuff out. So we look at his example and we let his mindset be our motivation for walking it out. Because when he was beaten, when he was ridiculed, even before the crucifixion, I mean, how many times was he told he was wrong? How many times was he mocked and scorned? Did he ever just say, man, you guys need to get your crap together because you are wrong and I got it right? No, he walked out humility. Now, he spoke truth in love, but he walked out humility. And that's what we're to do. The Lord took me through this path of freedom. I've got two big lies that I've got a lot of lies, but like core lies that I've believed. And one is that I have to be my own protector and defender because nobody else will. And then the other one is I cause people problems. And that's one I'm still walking out some freedom in, the defender and protector. I'm walking pretty good in pretty decent freedom. But what he showed me was a scripture in Psalms. It's probably pretty familiar to you, but it says that you are my strength and my shield. And that word strength means security. Like when you're secure in him, he can take care of business and you don't have to. That word shield means several things, but it actually says in the Greek definition, the scaly hide of a crocodile or the shell of a turtle. So I've got some good friends that I got these turtles that I wear around my arm. And then Karen brought me this turtle shell back from Canada. And it's my continual reminder that Gretchen doesn't have to self-protect. I don't have to defend. I don't have to fight for myself. because he's got me so covered, and nothing can get through the crocodile hide. Nothing can get through the shell of the turtle of him around me. Then we were in Kansas City one weekend. I was with some friends, and the Lord revealed another layer to that. He said, not only do you not have to do those things, but people can walk on you. Because I'm the shell on you. And so you can allow people to walk on you, because they're not walking on Gretchen. They're walking on me. How about that? Like, think about when I start walking out that truth, his mindset is my motivation. So when people are upset with me, when things don't go right, if I can walk out the truth that Jesus' mindset is my motivation, and when they're coming against me, they're really hitting him first. I'm tucked away like that turtle that just pulls his head and his legs in and everything else. And what was really cool, the summer of all of this revelation, my sitter called me and she goes, I'm so sorry, we're late. And I was like, it's okay, it's okay. I don't remember what we were doing. She was bringing my boys somewhere or doing something. She said, there was this turtle on the side of the road and I had to pick it up. And so I just ran it back to your house and released it on your property. And I just started laughing and I said, tell me this again. She goes, yeah. So she told me again and she goes, well, I hope that's okay. I've been doing it all summer. I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. So if I can walk out the knowledge, like inside the revelation knowledge that he is my defender and protector, then I don't have to self-promote. I don't have to be selfish. Like none of those. I can actually walk in the things that he is. That's the justification. He's provided all this for me. He's provided the way for me to live. My sanctification is, how are you going to walk it out? Am I going to walk out knowing the reality that he is my shell? Or am I going to walk out the fearful, insecure part of me that's going to end up slaying everybody in their path, in my path that day? Jesus knew everything that was going to come against him, and he chose to humble himself and wash the disciples' feet, even in the midst of the enemy planning to take him down and everything else. In fact, Peter is a great example, and everybody loves to make fun of Peter, but I love this revelation of Peter. Let's look at Matthew 26:31. Says, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble, sin, screw up, all of those things is what that means, because of me. This night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Look at the very last part of this verse. And so said all the disciples. Peter gets a bad rap for this, but actually all of them agreed. All of them spoke the same thing. We will never do this. We will never let it happen. Pride comes before the fall every single time. Anytime you screw up, you can go back and trace. Was there fear? Was there self-centeredness? Was there anxiety? Was there a selfish motivation at all in me? More often than not, you will be able to notice it like that if you ask yourself that. And if you don't, ask the people around you. Am I right? Well, so Peter says, never, never, never. All the other disciples say, never, 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 right? In 1 Peter 1 and 2, like Peter and all of the disciples are so full of pride, right? right here. I will never, because then we know he goes and does it. But in 1 Peter 1 and 2, over a dozen times, over a dozen times, Peter addresses the word honor, the concept of honor. And over a half a dozen times, he addresses humility. Like from this moment to when he's writing these letters, he's learning what it looks like to humble himself. He is learning what it looks like to walk in humility. In fact, Peter was the first preacher to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews at Jerusalem. Did you guys know that? He led right here all of the disciples into pride. Right here. He was the example. And later, after the Holy Spirit comes, he stands at Pentecost and stands fearlessly telling thousands around them about the Holy Spirit and about how they crucified the Messiah. And Jesus had prophesied it all before. Luke 22, it says, I have prayed for you, Peter, that you would stay faithful to me no matter what comes. Remember this after you have turned your back on me and have been restored. Make it your life mission to strengthen the faith of your brothers. And that's what he did. Like even church tradition, like the records, it records that when Peter went to be crucified, when they were going to kill and crucify Peter on the cross, that he asked, please crucify me upside down. He asked that because he did not want to die the same way as his Lord and Savior. Like he had learned such humility and honor by that time in his life. It's the process of sanctification and transformation by the Holy Spirit in his life. Let me give you a couple of characteristics of humility. You actually pray, right? You don't gripe about the fact that prayer isn't in school anymore, but you actually pray. Second Chronicles says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Fighting for people in prayer is one of the most humble things that you can do in unity and reconciliation and honor of each other. Fasting for them, seeking the Lord on their behalf. Number two, you rejoice when others are celebrated. Like you don't let competition in. You are so excited when someone gets a promotion, they get honored, they get recognized, you celebrate them. Number three, and I want to encourage you, like as we go through these, this isn't performance-based, all right? It's called self-evaluation, to know where you need to grow, to know where you need to humble yourself, to know your need of God. But rate yourself 1 to 5 in these things. 1, like, I really need a lot of effort, like attention in this area. 5, you know, I'm winning pretty well there. Think about that as we go through these. Number 3, you naturally seek godly wisdom from others. I want to clarify this. This is not advice. If you seek godly wisdom from someone, you go to people that you know have life union with him, that you see the fruit of the Spirit in their life. You know they sit with him, and you know they abide. And most generally, that godly wisdom comes with Scripture. His words cut bone and marrow, not ours. Okay? You are to be influenced. I'm not talking about in the flesh. But if someone challenges you in love, you know, Jody comes to me and says, hey, Gretchen, I think you were a little snotty this morning. Right? Do you not have that permission? You do. Most everybody has that permission. But I'm able to be influenced by that. I'm able to say thank you for calling me up to who I really am. I'm going to set with the Lord on that. Like, those are signs of humility, characteristics of humility. Number five, you can be corrected without defending yourself. I suck at this one. Yeah, we do, don't we? And maybe it's our personality. But you don't always have to be right. Going back to one of my declarations in the morning, I lay down my rights and I pick up his. Number six, there's no job too small for you. Jesus demonstrated it when he washed the feet of those who were sitting here saying, I will never let them do anything to you. I will never. Even the one that denied him. So what does it look like for us? Actually, might be you're headed out to the car after lunch, wherever you go to lunch, and you see a piece of trash and you pick it up. You put it in your car. You take it to the trash, right? Eventually, yeah, yeah. Here on a Sunday morning or throughout the week, it might be ministering to our kids once a month, sowing life, truth into their life, reminding them that the truest thing about them is what God says about them, teaching them what it really means to humble yourself and sow into somebody, modeling that. Our students on Wednesday nights. Maybe the Lord's going to ask you to wash somebody's feet. Yeah. Number seven, you're quick to forgive and you don't hold grudges. Who's the last person you forgave? When's the last time you've asked somebody to forgive you? And what role did humility play in that? Because humility is the precursor for anything. We have to be able to receive. Number eight, are you teachable? Never stop learning. Never. Humility plus nothing equals promotion. 1 Peter 5, God resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble, and in due time, you will be exalted. It's not, do you have college education? It's not, do you have money? It's not all of these things. Like, the Lord will exalt you if you humble yourself. And right in between the exaltation and the humility is the grace to wait. Even the Greek word patience means how you act in the waiting. How about that? How you act in the waiting. It's great to be educated and experienced, and they're important in our lives. I'm a certified teacher. I believe in that. But you could have none of those advantages, still have humility, and be greatly promoted and exalted by the Lord, even in your workplace. Number nine, you don't live with a sense of entitlement. Another one of my declarations, on the I'll give up my rights and pick up his, I lay them down, is no one owes me anything. Like, I have to learn that. I have to tell myself that every day out loud, speak that declaration. No one owes me anything. I owe no one anything except to love. It's in Romans. Like, that's what I owe you, is to love you and to walk out love. Number 10, you live to help others succeed. You're not selfish. I offered Annie to use my toothbrush this morning. You're welcome. Right? Think about it. It's a little extreme, right? We are close, but I knew she would say no, so. And then I said, yeah, well, somebody else might have a toothbrush around here. But you're not selfish. What is yours is given for the kingdom, for you to give and bless others, your possessions, your gifts, your talents, your knowledge, your revelation of who he is. You live to see others and help them succeed. Humility is always the companion of great vision. If your vision lacks humility, you're missing a fundamental and necessary ingredient in a God-given vision. Think about it. If you have vision for your home or your family or your job or your ministry, it takes humility. Humility is the precursor there. And you are a surrendered life for the sake of others. It's another one of my declarations. Gretchen, you are surrendered life for the sake of others. I have to tell myself that every day. I don't walk up going, I'm a surrendered life for the sake of others. What shall we do today? Anybody wake up like that? Maybe some of you morning people do. But, okay, no. Yeah, Cindy is a morning person. She laughed. There you go, right? Number 11, you're not easily offended. So, situation happened several months ago. I was brought into a conversation, into a meeting type setting with a guy that ministers the gospel quite a bit of places, and somebody else, and kind of was asked just for my input in it. I really saw it as the godly wisdom type stuff, and it was a little uncomfortable because I spoke some hard truths and just kind of reminded those of us that were in that setting of the things that the Lord's asked us to walk out. Because, you know, sometimes everything looks awesome, and so we want to go here and we want to go here, and the Lord's like, this was your direction. And so we talked it over. It was good, but it was a little awkward. And I didn't really know where it landed. I hadn't seen this gentleman again. And Friday we were at lunch, and there were like 8 or 9 of us around a table, and he spoke. He was at that end and I was at this end, and he said, before we leave, I want to confess this in front of you guys. And he said, I want to be sure that there's nothing between me and my sister. And I was the only woman at the table. And so he spoke, and he just said, I need to make sure that you know my heart in this, and that I was so excited about my progress because I misunderstood you and walked away very bothered. But the Lord showed me that I was wrong, and I repented on behalf of myself and that whole situation. It wasn't a strife-filled conversation at all. And I wept before the Lord on your behalf. And I want you to know the things that he showed me about you. And he began to tell me things that I haven't told anybody. Now, he didn't say all of it. He kind of said a generality at the table. But we talked after. And he began to tell very specific things. Now, humility was the one thing that was present at that table. Because I was not able to ever receive that word that the Lord had for me inside of him unless he humbled himself and gave it. Unless he humbled himself around that table of men and said, I left and my heart wasn't right and I didn't understand her. Think about that. But humility allowed me to receive it as well. So if you're not easily offended, humility is what's present. Number 12, you have a thankful and grateful attitude. Jesus showed us that life can really stink sometimes to the point of his journey to death, but he modeled humility. Giving thanks is tied to grace, and if we aren't humble, we can't give thanks. Check it out in the Gospels. Every time that Jesus gave thanks, there was an opportunity for death to be there. And I don't mean like him dying every time. Like somebody had an opportunity to die. Even when he broke bread and gave thanks right before his own death. So every time you give thanks, you die to pride in your life and you live to humility. The last one, you freely admit your flaws and mistakes and failures, including the lies you believe and the areas you need freedom from. Now, I struggle in some areas, but I'm pretty good when I see it about saying, oh my gosh, I totally messed up, right? So this is one I would give myself a little higher number on. Am I there yet? No, but I don't mind you guys knowing my stuff. Why? Because I want to help you succeed in any way that I can. Gavin, you guys can come. You guys go ahead and stand up as we kind of close. I want to share this vision. So earlier I shared the vision about the 1-inch water and it being a flood, and we humbled ourselves and we laid in it. Well, in that was an act of worship. Like it says that our bodies should be a living sacrifice, right? We should give our whole self to him in worship. So as we lay ourselves before him in humility and we say, we worship you, we love you, you are all of these things, like that, there is an essence of the Lord in that place of worship. Annie was at the end of that word. She had started seeing herself. She was in the middle of worship. She was tied to a whipping post. She was being beaten severely, severely beaten. And the Lord said, when you are here in this place of suffering, when you're being whipped, you open up yourself to me and you allow my worship to be present. You know, we say a lot of times, like when you're squeezed, what's in you is coming out. How many of you have been squeezed this month and not good came out? All right, a few of us, right? Well, what I can tend to do when I'm squeezed and junk comes out, I can tend to go into a hole of shame. I can go into a cave and say, like, I am such a failure. I caused all these people problems, like all of these things. And I can go into this shame and this place of self-pity almost. And I don't even know self-pity, but it's definitely self-centeredness. And instead, if we will take ourselves in that place of suffering, because as she was tied to that whipping post and she was being beaten, the worship from the 1-inch water to that whipping post never stopped. She was so joy-filled. She was so exuding the worship of the Lord that her body was tingling, almost like you were having the laughing gas at the dentist office, right? And she just had the essence of the Lord pouring out of her. So think about when we get squeezed, and that is not what comes out, the worship of the Lord and his character and the nature, but instead the ugly comes out. The best thing we can do in that moment, instead of going into a hole of no impact, instead of going into shame, instead of going into a cave, we can pick our head up, because it says, although a righteous person falls, they get up. And we pick ourselves up. That is the best thing you can do, the best act of humility in that moment. And you can say, I am going to fill myself with my life union with you. I'm going to fill myself with your presence and with your essence. So as I'm continuing to be squeezed, you can begin to come out. It's a choice. Like we have it right in front of us and we can choose to take that in or we can choose not to. So if you've listened today and you've thought there is no way in the world I can walk this out, I'd like to ask you these questions. Do you know Jesus? Like, have you truly been completely regenerated by the Spirit? If your answer is no, will you take the first step in authentic humility today and admit your need of God? And if that is you, we would love to pray for you. Raise your hand, yell, wave at me. It doesn't matter. Like, that is the first step in authentic humility. If you're like, there's no way I can walk any of these things out. Not a self-defeating, there is no way. But like, there's no power inside of you. The one that is power, he wants to make his home within you and be connected to you all the time. Everybody else, if you want continuous grace and you aren't seeking it, ask him where you need to humble yourself. Ask him in those characteristics of humility. Where do you want me to grow in? What do you want to dig out of my life so I can walk at a greater depth of humility, a more authentic place of humility? Because whatever attitude that we bring to a situation is multiplied. If we bring a fearful, pride-filled attitude into a situation, it's just going to be magnified and multiplied. So let's bring an attitude worth being multiplied into our situations. An attitude of humility and honor, of gratitude, a mindset of Jesus, and let him be our motivation. There's no way that you will not succeed if you find humility. So if it's that you, just open your hands, raise your hands, and pray over us. Father, we humbly come before you now, and we lay down all of our rights, and we pick up your rights for you to show us the places that you want to dig out of us, and that you want to clean out of us, and you want to change, you want to grow us in. Father, we make the choice to humbly lay low before you, and not so we can be exalted, but so we can have the grace to walk out our assignments. We can have the grace to walk out the situations that you have before us. Father, I thank you that Jesus showed us the way time and time again. That humility is the precursor for anything and everything we do. For us to even grow fruit, humility has to happen. So, Father, we give up our attitudes and we ask that your essence permeate every single being of our life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.com.